Hi, everybody. Welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Chris Reisner. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Hashi Bai.
Hello.
And today, our special guest may look familiar. He's been on the show a lot before, Brady Gaster.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Brady, how are you doing?
Busy.
Great. And Brady, can you tell us kind of what your role is, again, for people that don't know, and then what you're going to talk about today?
Yeah, I'm one of the army of PMs, program managers, not project managers, that we have here at Microsoft. I specifically work in the developer division under Scott Hunter's team. We're the ASP.NET and tools team. So we actually build the ASP.NET framework. I, myself, Syed Hashimi, and Mads Christensen are all the VS tooling guys on our crew. So all the stuff that you do in the HTML editors, Mads, the stuff that you see around ASP.NET vNext, ASP.NET Core, that's all Syed's tooling. And then the stuff that you use to work with App Service, that's all my team stuff.
Okay, great. So, yeah. All right, and before we dive into Brady's presentation, we're going to go over some news today, some really big announcements in the past week or couple weeks. The first thing is probably the biggest. It's we announced the first technical preview of Microsoft Azure Stack. And if you've heard of Azure Pack in the past, this is kind of that, but maybe on steroids or more advanced. So essentially, this is making the ability to develop for your data center and the cloud just seamless. So you'll build in one way, and it'll run in both places. So like I said, this is a technical preview. It's coming out in, I think, early February.
So is that like Azure in your Azure in your enterprise?
It really is. Okay. It's like you're basically running Azure services in your own data center.
Nice.
And that makes it so that, you know, if you want to fail over to the cloud, or if you want to be able to run in both places, you only develop a solution once, and it runs the same in both places.
Cool.
It's really cool stuff.
Nice stuff.
If you want to learn more about this, I strongly encourage you to check out a webcast that Marcus Sinovich and Jeffrey Snover are doing on February 3rd. It's at 9 a.m. PST. It'll tell you all about the stack, how it works, what it is, stuff like that, and let you know how and when you'll be able to start playing with it.
Those guys are pretty smart.
They are. Yes, they are. Absolutely. So moving along in the news, there is a new thing for Azure mobile apps. So if you're familiar with mobile apps and the ability to do data storage with it, one of the capabilities that people have really requested and they want to make a really easy experience for is being able to also store data and not just structured data. So they're introducing a new thing called File Sync, and essentially what it will do is enable you to more easily store files and blobs into Azure Blob Storage as part of the mobile apps SDK. So this is both a client and a server-side piece, so you can go ahead and play around and see how that works. Also to do with mobile apps, they announced some updates for the Node.js SDK. So the last episode we talked about how to convert or migrate from Azure mobile services to mobile apps. So this is some more to do with the Node.js SDK. So first of all, they created a Yeoman generator for generating generating Node.js backends for mobile apps. So this just makes it a little bit easier if you're doing that development on Mac or Linux, which is really great. There's capabilities for doing offline development now. There's, you know, the basic app template for building it. They've enabled basically the kind of the default app, mobile apps homepage that went away. They're enabling you to bring that back as well. Some updates for authentication and authorization, making that easier. So some really cool stuff. Just this week, they announced Project NAMI, which is a WordPress for Azure SQL Database and SQL Server. So if you're familiar with WordPress, it's traditionally run off MySQL. And there's been some kind of extensions to get it to run off Microsoft SQL Server in the past. Well, this is a open source project to essentially get it running on top of building it basically for Azure SQL and SQL Server. So take a look at this. You can actually deploy this in Azure now. Works really great. Back to mobile apps. They announced a beta version of the Apache Cordova plugin. So for a little while, the quick starts for HTML and JavaScript went away for mobile apps. So this brings those back. And so now they've got, you know, full support for building out Cordova or PhoneGap style applications with mobile apps. So if you're not familiar with the Azure Storage Explorer, this is a really cool application that runs on Windows, Linux, and Mac. And it enables you to currently get into blob and container data, and, you know, maybe down the road it'll be table and queues as well. But essentially, from any of those systems, you can access your storage accounts, you can upload new blobs, you can pull down blobs, stuff like that. If you go to storageexplorer.com, this is where you can download it. Again, really great app, especially if you're trying to get access to your storage accounts from Linux or Mac. And then the last bit of news is a new website we wanted to highlight. It's on the MSDN blogs. It's called This Week in Azure, and it's essentially a recap every week of Announcements from the week, community news, everything to do with you know, any news related to Azure. So a really cool site if you want to stay up to date with what's going on with Azure, any posts the community provides, all that cool stuff. Mm. All right, Brady, let's see what you got.
Cool. You know, it's funny to watch you go through those announcements because the three of us used to work on a team together. We all used to be evangelists together.
Mm-hmm.
I am no longer an evangelist. They kicked me out of that organization. Now I'm, you know, helping write the tools and stuff that you guys are using. But as Chris was going through those different headlines, it's funny to think about how many of those things that I've either heard about or I work with the teams on them. I'm not trying to say like I'm that guy, but it's just cool to think in the period of time that we've been working together how much Azure has evolved.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you think about, I think last year it was something like between January and something like March or build. Guthrie said that we'd done something like 600 new Azure features.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So to think about that is pretty neat. And this Project Nami is actually something that I ended up chatting with two of the guys who had originally worked on that at one of the build conferences.
Okay.
And they got introduced to the Antares guys, App Service guys. And it kind of went from there. So it's kind of neat to see all that stuff evolve after just being a part of it. And I think about the period of time when I worked with Chris, one of the things he used to always carry on this odd computer here, and he would bark about how a lot of the tools, you know, he didn't have the tools that he wanted because he didn't run on Windows. So it's really nice to see that things like Storage Explorer landed on Linux or landed on Mac. You've got VS Code to be able to push stuff up. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's like the Storage Explorer, that was always a pain point for me. It's like, oh, you know, I need to upload blobs. It's like, well, I got to, you know, open a Windows VM so I can use it in Visual Studio. Because there wasn't a really good tool to use it cross-platform, and now like that exists, and it's fantastic.
This is crazy. It's really cool to have been a part of showing people how to report these things, and then us reporting the things to the engineering teams, and then to kind of switch gears, work on the engineering team, and actually get that feedback from. It's not great to get it from him, but you get the idea.
Hey, I'm nice about it, I think.
Yeah, usually. We have one more announcement. I made it earlier in the week. This is the blog post wherein we announced the Azure SDK version 2.8.2 for .NET. I want to talk about a couple of the things that we did in here. A lot of the features that you're going to hear me talk about today, we actually lit up in the 2.8.1 release just before the close of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big things that we did in the 2.8.2 SDK was light up things for some of our non-production Azure environments, so some of the private clouds, for instance. What's really interesting about one of the announcements that you showed, Azure Stack, so one of our old colleagues, Nick Harris, he used to be involved with the Azure Stack team, and one of the things that he was doing, you know, he's really big on VS tools. Mm-hmm. He was using, Sidewaffle? Before it was hip, you know. So if you guys haven't heard about Sidewaffle, just go back and watch some of the old shows. So he had actually started using Sidewaffle to build out one of the things we have in the new Azure Resource Manager API layer is this thing called a resource provider. You've probably heard this term quite a bit. So with Stack, if you take, you know, Azure Stack and you deploy it in your on-prem environment, you know, you've got all the resource providers for websites and all that good stuff, but what if you decide you want to build your own resource provider? If you build your own resource provider, it's in your environment. Microsoft doesn't know anything about it. Specifically, my team doesn't know anything about it. So there's no way for us to actually plumb into VS and write code that would interrogate your resource provider and do things like create instances of your custom resource.
Interrogate in a nice way, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Interrogate in a nice way. What? Pick your poison. So one of the things that we did in the 2.8.1 SDK was to actually create, if you will, almost like an SDK inside of the App Service SDK. And I'll get into a little bit of that today. We haven't locked those contracts down yet, but the idea is we are trying to slickstream a lot of the development that we do in the tools. Because, you know, a 3 to 6 month cadence on tooling is better than we've had in the past, but it's not as fast as, say, Azure.com, which deploys daily and has every day since 2015.
Right.
So if you think about the velocity that the services are updating, the tooling can never keep up with them because it's an installed product.
Yep.
So what we're trying to do, or what we've done actually, is you've created an SDK, and I'll get into it today when we talk about creating additional resources. You'll be able to light up additional resources, and what we're also doing is we're talking to some of the individuals in the other partner teams, such as like Service Bus or whoever else.
Mm-hmm.
We're showing them how to use this SDK so that those partners could actually write their one component in the tool and then deploy it to the VS Extension Gallery. If for whatever reason you want to party on Service Bus and you don't have it installed yet, you could install it directly from the Extension Gallery, restart VS, and now you could actually provision that stuff as well.
Very nice.
We're hoping to have those contracts locked by about the 3.0 SDK timeframe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we'll get all that stuff done by build. We're trying really hard. Sure. But if it's not done by build, it'll be done just after build. So
Okay. We're
actually trying to get there. What that means for Azure Stack customers is if you want to create your own resource provider, you could actually create your own tooling as well.
Very
nice.
You
wouldn't have to like get in touch with us and show us how your resource provider works. We don't want to know that. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to open up VS real quick, and I'm going to show you some of the stuff that we've done. Now, I work on, I'm the tooling guy for Azure on the ASP.NET team. So what that means is, you know, we're in the app service world. So most of the tooling that I'm going to show you today pivots on the app service concept. So mm-hmm. It's for your web, your mobile, and then most recently your REST API, your API apps. Developers. So that's kind of where we're gonna pivot today and get things started. I'm not gonna do a lot of deployment today. I'm just gonna show you some of the new dialogues.
Okay.
So what I'm gonna do is just go real quickly. I'm gonna create a new ASP.NET app. And what I'm gonna do first is to create. We'll call it Cloud Cover Demo. And I'll call this guy API because the first thing that I'm gonna do is show you how one of the things that we did in the 2.8.1 SDK was we brought the Azure API apps template out of preview.
Mm.
Because at the same time, the service GA'd, so now you've got
Makes
API
sense.
Apps that are, you know, V2 or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So we went ahead and rev the template and we give you all that stuff as well. It still has the swashbuckle NuGet installed
yep.
and all that goodness. So this is really just going to create, for all intents and purposes, if you were to go to the one ASP.NET dialog, select empty, and then turn on web API,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty much what this project consists of. But we also add to it the swashbuckle NuGet package, which I talk about in one of the Azure Fridays show with
sure.
Hanselman. And basically what swashbuckle does is it enables your web API so that your web API can expose Swagger metadata.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like WSDL for REST,
yes.
if you will. So I'm not going to do anything with this yet, but I do want to point out that that is an API project. That's an API
okay.
project that I've created. And then the second thing that I'm going to do here is I'm going to add a new one. And next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to just go in here. I'm going to call this guy Cloud Cover Demo, and we'll just call it Web. So I've got API and I've got Web. And I'm just going to go ahead and make an MVC project. I'm not going to do any auth on this one, so I'm just going to turn off auth real quick. This might be my marketing site where I just communicate with my backend API. So what I've done here is I've created kind of a realistic solution
mm-hmm.
in which I've got a front-end web app
yep.
and then a back-end API that thing is going to talk to. Now, the
right.
reason that I pull this up here is if we were to go out and look at everything prior to the 2.8.1 SDK release, you're going to see that whenever you right-click your project and you do a publish, what you're going to see in here is you're going to see, you're not going to see app service. One
mm-hmm.
thing you're going to see is going to be API apps. Then you're going to see web apps.
Right.
Well, one of the things that we recently added was this concept of mobile apps. So we started thinking, okay, not a lot of real estate on this dialogue,
yep.
starting to add a whole bunch of buttons. You know, one of the things that we have done recently is web jobs has actually become a first-class citizen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can imagine, these buttons were going to start to grow. So what we did in the 2.8.1 SDK was we sort of unified the concept of the app service tooling.
Yep.
around the fact that the app service unified web, mobile, and API
right.
all up. So we wanted the tooling to basically emulate that same sort of behavior. Now, at the same time, we've totally overhauled the look and feel.
Mm.
One thing that we used to hear from some wonderful people on my team, Mr. Hunter, my skip level manager, and Mr. Hanselman, somebody near dear to all our hearts, one thing that we kept hearing from those guys was, I do a lot of demos, and I see this screen all the time. Now, I currently don't have any app services in my subscription, surprisingly. I've cleaned out my subscription before I came in here. But if you had some in here, what you would actually see is the list of all these guys, and they'd be grouped by resource group and or resource type, just
Great.
Like the Cloud Explorer over here has recently done. So I could actually change that.
Oh, nice.
If I had something, I could type in a filter. So if I were to do a filter here, it would actually filter this list. Now,
mm-hmm.
this is all brand new in 2.8.1.
Great.
And you can also see that the UI has been significantly updated.
Definitely, yeah.
So that's kind of a good thing. We feel good about that. If you have multiple accounts, we're integrating directly with the account picker. So you would have multiple accounts. Each account might have multiple subscriptions.
Yep.
Everything that you wire up in the Cloud Explorer over here on the left, you're going to see wire up directly in this window. We've just
Very
pivoted
cool.
on all that same stuff.
Great.
So that's nice. A better together story. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to create a new app service. So I'm going to go ahead and click new. Now, remember which project I clicked on. I clicked on my API project, and I did a publish. And what you see here is that we automatically know that this is going to be an API app. Now, if I wanted to change that type, I could do that right here. And I'm not going to change the type right yet, but I'm just going to call this out one more time. I'm going to right click this guy, which is my web project. I'm going to do a publish again. Click on the new button in my select existing. And you'll see here that says web app name.
Okay.
And it's automatically pre-selected web. And if I had a mobile app project, it would do the same thing.
Mm.
So apparently the check doesn't check, but that could be a bug. I actually have a Franken build. I have just after the 2.8.2 release,
which
came out. So you'll see that we also overhauled this entire UI. One thing to point out on this UI, every single thing on here is extensible. So for whatever reason, we call this the main event window. Mm. And most main events in app service tooling are going to be a web, mobile, or REST API.
Mm-hmm.
If, for whatever reason, a partner team came along and they said, hey, we want to light up, let's say, Key Vault. We want to light up Key Vault as a main event. This entire thing is flexible and they could use this. Again, once our contracts lock, you'll be able to party on this if you want to. But it's very valuable for the Azure Stack guys. Moving right along. So I'm going to go ahead and leave this guy. I'm just going to call it Cloud Cover Web. I'm going to take off my time date stamp here. And one thing that we kept hearing from customers, one of whom was me, that used to kind of bug me, was that I did not have the capability of creating an app service plan that wasn't free. Before I get to that, I want to show you one little feature that we did. In 2.8.1, this new box wasn't here.
Okay.
And I'll take responsibility for this one. I did the mockups for this. This is my design. I guess nobody noticed it. But what this used to look like was this new button wasn't here, and this was a typable dropdown.
Mm-mm.
And this is just kind of the evolution. People were like, I don't know where to create a new resource group.
Right.
I assumed, and I'm taking the heat for this one, I assumed that people would know just to type that in there.
Right.
And you'd be amazed how many resource group like creations kind of went down directly from our tooling because people didn't know where to go.
Sure.
So we've made this a little more obvious. I'm going to click this new button, and then it just says enter a name for your resource group.
Okay.
Now, on the blog post, one of the things that we talk about is how we wanted this to sort of be a pit of success. Have you ever heard that term?
I don't know that I have.
It's actually a term coined by one of the guys at MSDN.
Okay.
And I linked to his blog in the 2.8.2 announce blog. A pit of success is this concept, and this is kind of spun by a teammate of mine, Chris Tavares. Chris said the pit of success is you make your UI, you make your solution such that nobody can fall into a pit of despair.
That sounds much better than the pit of despair.
Yeah, exactly. So we want this to be a pit of success, whereas you look at it, you go, okay, there's obviously something wrong. So as soon as I clicked new here, you can see that it went ahead and threw up an alert. It says, you got to give me a name for your resource group. So I'm going to call this guy Cloud Cover Demo, and now it's going to say, showing me a little blue thing. It's just telling me a new resource group is going to be created.
All right.
That's all well and good. Now, I've got to have an app service plan. So you'll see up here that we're still red. And if I go to that part of the thing, it says your app service plan is required.
Mm-hmm.
As I was alluding to before, in the past, what you would have to do is you would have to create it as a free guy, because we heard from people in VS, they want everything free all the time. We don't ever want to confuse anybody. Well, we're not confusing you. We're giving you a drop-down where you can actually select which one you want.
Now, to be clear, though, I mean, if you do create a free one, there's nothing stopping you from going in and then changing the size.
Correct.
It's just,
correct.
Here, if you know you need something beforehand, you
That's
just...
correct.
Great.
That's exactly right. And what people were doing in the past is they would go out, they would create it free, they would go to the portal. What's an app service plan? They'd have to go into that resource group, find the thing that was the app service plan, then find the thing down at the bottom where they changed the size.
Right.
We're just giving you the ability to pick that size. Now, one thing that I'd like to do in the future, and this is another one of the tweaks that we've made, as you can see here that we're basically emulating the same thing that they have on the portal. B1 is your basic, F1 is your free, S1 standard, P1 premium. But I'd really like this to say basic, standard, premium. I'd like it to call out exactly how it calls out in the portal. Fair. We haven't locked exactly what that terminology should look like across all the different languages, so we haven't updated it yet, but the nice thing is we won't have to re-release an SDK update to change text that's in here. We've set it up in such a way that now it's a little bit smarter and we can actually publish files out to storage.
Right.
And it will pull them down and the tooling will just magically change.
Okay.
That was very helpful. The day after we released SDK 2.8.2, there was a very minor change to one of the APIs that we didn't expect. And it was literally one of those like strings. It was like, well, this string changed from foo to bar.
Right.
Okay, so we were like, oh no, we just released, what are we gonna do? We gotta wait 3 months, we gotta do a hotfix, what do we do? And our dev was like, remember that JSON file nobody thought we needed? He just goes, he changes it, he puts it back in storage, and the tooling started working again.
Very nice.
So, things like that, we're trying to make life easier for you guys and give you a more rapid cadence when it comes to these little nuances that we might have forgotten.
And easier for you guys too, really, right?
Way easier. So, speaking of making life easier, most web apps or API apps, they're gonna have some sort of backend resource. Mm. It's like a SQL database.
Yes.
Or if you're doing something with APIs, you might want to have an API management instance, something like that. Well, in the past, one of the things that we did was we gave you the ability to create a SQL Server database at the same time that you created your web app or mm-hmm. whatever app you wanted. And we heard from a good buddy of ours, Ryan Crocker, from the DocDB
yes,
team.
Yes, we know him.
He actually hit me up, and I have to give Ryan credit for this yet again. He comes to me and he goes, we'd like to add DocDB there.
Sure,
and I
makes
was like,
sense.
Well, I can think of 19 other partners that are going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
So we don't want to just add DocDB. We want to give you the ability to create additional services. As we call it right here, we wanted you to be able to explore additional Azure services. Now, the only one that we're shipping in the box right now is a SQL database,
mm-hmm.
but you can see that since this guy is actually a web app, we're basically recommending different resource types
mm-hmm.
based on what type of app service you're publishing.
Okay.
We were going ahead and sticking with SQL because we didn't want to have any takebacks. We wanted you guys to have all the same functionality that you had before we overhauled the world here, and we did overhaul the world. It was a complete rewrite of all of our tooling for Azure. My teams, not everybody else's teams. But what we've done here is we've given you this concept of a recommended and an all.
Mm.
So if you were to click on all and we shipped something other than SQL, you would actually see every other kind of resource here.
Sure.
So one thing that we're going to recommend for web is going to be Redis. We actually have a prototype of the Redis plugin working for this. We have a prototype of the Key Vault plugin working for this, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, is this something here where you can just kind of make a change to like a JSON file or push something out, or does this have to be part of the SDK?
Today, it's one of those things that still has to be a part of the SDK. So we ship this and we ship the SQL extension along with this guy.
Mm.
If you were to go out and create the Redis one, as a for instance, you could publish that Redis one into the VS extension gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Then I could go into here and download it directly through extensions, and
okay.
then it's going to light up.
Okay, so it's not necessarily something that has to be distributed with the SDK.
Correct.
We have other extensions that you could just install as a separate
exactly,
thing.
Exactly.
Great.
And one of the things that we would like to do right here when you see this explore additional Azure services, today we're just bouncing you to that services tab so that you can see everything that might be there. Eventually what we might do is we might show you some sort of a pop-up that says here are all the available extensions you can just install.
Nice, that'd be great.
So that'd be really, really good. The other thing about that is let's say you're working with, I don't know, Chris Foo Service,
yes.
and Chris Foo Service decides to release an API update, and you let the tooling team know, and we just did SDK 3.7, it's going to be another 6 months or 3 months for us to be able to augment your stuff.
Mm.
Now you could just go in, change your tooling, publish your tooling out, and immediately everybody that has that extension already installed, they get the update.
Nice.
So
very
it's
cool.
like complete out of band.
That's excellent.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
So let's say if I have a SQL database provisioned,
yep.
how do I link that connection string to that database from my website?
Funny you should ask that question. I'll show you that. So what I'll do right here is I'll go ahead and click on this Add button, and we also augmented the UI a little bit here. We gave bubbles on the plus whenever you mouse over it. You can see what you're going to do.
Sure.
So what I could do here is I could actually select one of my SQL servers.
Mm-hmm.
If I already have one, I don't have one, so I would click New right here. I would create a new SQL server, put in the username and password. I'm not going to do that right now. That would basically link that server up to this database, and whatever I put right here for the name of the connection string, which we've left it as a default connection.
Mm-hmm.
In the 281 timeframe, we heard from a lot of ASP.NET guys, default connection is used everywhere. Could you just go back to default connection?
Because mm-hmm.
we weren't putting a name in. We
right.
were like munging the name. So we went ahead and added this back in so you could customize your connection string. Now, funny you should ask all the questions about, I guess I will go ahead and do it. So I'll go ahead and say,
I notice it doesn't look like there's a tier selector here for what kind of tier of SQL server you're going to create.
No, we don't have that. We haven't. We're still creating the same default tier that we were creating before.
Okay.
We need to go to the SQL team. So if you're watching, let us know what you think. If you'd like us to add a tier button here, first tell us that you want a tier button. We'll add a tier button, and then we'll show you how the code works, and you guys can take it over.
Is it safe to say the default is like the free tier?
Yeah. Well, there's no more free tier, but,
okay.
but yeah, I don't think there's a free tier. They might have brought the free tier back.
Okay.
I think there was a web tier. I don't remember what it is.
Gotcha.
Klein would know. We could ask Klein.
Okay.
But it does create whatever the default is. So I'll go ahead and click OK here. Now, the last thing I want to show you guys is this awesome button we have down here called Export. This is my personal favorite feature. Not just in our tooling, but probably in all of VS, except for the control period. Control period will always be my favorite. So one of the things that we heard from a lot of customers is that Azure Resource Manager templates are very complicated.
That's fair.
They're kind of complicated to know how things link up and whatever else, and there's a lot of JSON. So we wanted to give people a nice way to get started. So everything that you do in this screen, which we're calling the resource cart, if you were to hit export right here, I could go out to my desktop and I could say demo template. I could hit save. And I'm not going to do this right now. I'm going to hit cancel. I promise it works. And I'm just going to go to my desktop real quickly. And what you will see is that I have dropped a demo template.json and a demo template.env.parameters.json. Now, if I were to open that guy up, what we've done is we basically created one file, which is your template, mm-hmm. and then one file, which is all of the parameters that your template needs. We wire everything up in here so that if you wanted to go file, new project, cloud, and then select an Azure resource group project, mm-hmm. you could effectively drag these two files in, and then you could use the resource group project along right. with the files that we give you.
Okay.
So we're kind of making it easy for you to get started. Mm. And as other partners dial into what we're calling our Cart SDK, our Azure Cart SDK, as other partners dial into that, anytime you click the export button, all their stuff will also get dropped.
Nice.
So it's just a part of the SDK.
Very cool.
So we've done a lot of work. We have some devs who worked, I think, like 120 hours a week just to get ready for 281.
It's a normal week here.
So yeah, it was pretty crazy. I just want to call out again all my wonderful devs that got all the hard work done. I worship you and I thank you for all the stuff that you've done. And to the community, if you have any other ideas, please hit us up. And of course, to our partners, as you see this and you start wanting to dial into the resource cart, please reach out because we definitely want to talk to you and mm-hmm. we want to get your stuff in there so that you can go as fast as fast as you want. So
cool.
That's about all I have today.
All right, cool. Can we say like what's coming in the SDK? Like you mentioned 3.0 earlier.
Yeah,
is there any like ideas?
One thing that we want to do really bad is this concept of being able to go into VS, select a resource group and say export as ARM template. Mm-hmm. So you can actually drop a deployment as an ARM template or drop an entire resource group as an ARM template directly from VS. We think that would be pretty awesome.
Definitely.
And then another thing that we're going to do is we've been talking a lot with the web jobs team. And they have a lot of cool stuff on the horizon, and we want our tooling to match some of the cool stuff that they've
okay.
done. So you might see some changes coming around the web jobs tooling around 3.0, but I don't have a lot for that yet.
Okay.
I'll be talking about that more later.
Cool.
That'll be another show.
Sure. So. And now, where can people go to if they have questions, if they want to reach out?
The best place for you to go is to go to the 282 blog post and go down to the very bottom. And we actually use Discus for our forums,
yep.
or not forums, but for the conversation.
Yep.
Go out and use that. You can see that I've subscribed to it, so anytime you submit a comment on here, I'm going to get an email. And a lot of times, as you'll see with this gentleman, I actually reached directly out to Leon and I said, hey, I want to see what's going on.
Yep.
Email me. We've already dealt with that.
Sure.
So use this guy. Comments on the Discus thread, and then of course you can always find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Brady Gaster.
You got to give us one of these.
I got it, Brady Gaster.
There we go.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
So there, that's about it.
All right, Brady. Well, thanks for joining us to talk about the SDK. Fun to see what you guys are working on.
Yeah, it's
looking
really
forward
exciting.
To more to come.
Yeah, you'll have a lot more.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
All right. Yeah, cool. Everybody, thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.